Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. All right, this is episode 169. You can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode169. Ever since it's been made aware to me that I say drama weird, that's all I think about every time I do these podcast intros. Is it drama? Is drama the right way to say it? You guys will still like me, right? If I say drama the wrong way. Okay, today we are talking Shakespeare, and Shakespeare in high school, or in school, middle school and high school. And I know that just by saying that sentence, that either there was a smile on your face, Shakespeare, yay, or you made a scrunchy face, right? Or your stomach went all squishy. You know, you're thinking about that experience right now, right? Your experience with Shakespeare is one of those two things. It's either Shakespeare or it's Shakespeare. But if you are a drama teacher, at some point, Shakespeare should make it onto your stage. So what if you have hated him since high school? So Shakespeare is a challenge. Yep. It's a great challenge. It one that's probably easier to embrace than skydiving, but you know, I could be wrong. And in this podcast, we've got two teachers, Heidi Frederick and Hilary Martin, both of whom in the past year directed Shakespeare for the first time. It took Heidi 14 years of teaching before she was able to tackle the Bard. And in Hillary's case, not only was she directing Shakespeare for the first time, but many of her actors were acting Shakespeare for the first time. They had no previous exposure. That sounds like an adventure. Yeah, I think so. Let's find out. Let's get to it. Okay, I am talking with Heidi Frederick. Hello, Heidi.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm swell. So tell everybody where in the world are you?
I am in Louisiana. I'm in a small town called Sanama, which is probably about 20 minutes south of Baton Rouge and about 40 minutes north of New Orleans.
Oh, cool. Perfect. I always like it when I can get a good image of where people are.
Yes.
So we're talking today about Shakespeare, but not just that the whole idea of tackling a Shakespeare show for the very first time. How long have you been a teacher?
This is my 14th year.
This is your 14th year, and you just did your Shakespeare show.
I'm actually just about to open it.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay. So are you nervous?
I'm very nervous. My very first Shakespeare show, and I'm very nervous.
Okay, well, I bet you you did fine. So let's go back to the very beginning. So what made you decide that you had to tackle Shakespeare?
Well, I've always wanted to do Shakespeare, but I've always been very apprehensive about tackling Shakespeare. The language, of course, has always held me back. I had taught English for quite a many years, so I had taught Shakespeare before, and I knew the struggles that students had with the language. Even though I know Shakespeare was written to be performed, I was very nervous about having my theater students perform it. But I like to let my students inspire me, especially my advanced students. They inspire me as far as what plays I choose for them to perform for their particular production that semester. So I kind of get the feel for them, see what they're into. And I don't know, I was just looking for shows and everything kept coming up Shakespeare. And so I finally said, look, maybe this is the year. I've been teaching for a while. I'm not, you know, a spring chicken, but maybe I can do this.
It kind of sounds like, and it really sounds like it was, if you're looking to your students to influence the shows, that they were on board with it too.
Yes, they were. At first, they were a little apprehensive, but we went to our state thespian festival in January, and we went through a Shakespearean workshop. And so after that, they felt a little bit more comfortable with the language, learning the iambic pentameter, and also our local university, LSU, they came to our school, and they did a Shakespearean workshop with us. And so that helped us and helped the students to, again, become a lot more comfortable and familiar with the characters, but especially with the language.
What a great idea. You know, if you've got, like, if you're in a thespian troupe, you're going to have a festival. There's going to be some help for you. And instead of just struggling alone, you know, like, you know, bring in the cavalry, bring in the people who can give a doorway for your students.
Yes, definitely. I was calling all the troops to help me out because I cannot do this alone.
Well, nor do you have in this day and age. You just don't have to. You know, there's access everywhere. You know, even if it's just online.
Right.
So, and which show did you put up?
We are doing Romeo and Juliet.
Right. And what was your first step when you have Romeo and Juliet in your hands and before your auditions, before you're like even thinking about sets and costumes and all of that, what was your first step to approach this thing that was made you feel apprehensive?
Well, the first thing that I did was I looked at many different abridged scripts to see if I could find one that wasn't too long, but wasn't too short. I found many, you know, one act versions, but with it being my advanced class, I wanted them to have a full length version, but I didn't want it 4 hours long. So
yeah, you don't really want, for your first time, you know, 4 hours is a little much.
Right. So I reached out to, the open forum through Educational Theater Association, and I got a lot of my colleagues on there sent me copies of theirs, of their abridged versions. And so I kind of started from there, and I ended up writing my own version of Romeo and Juliet. So
holy smokes. Did you amend the language, or did you keep the original Shakespearean text?
Oh, I kept the original language. The only thing that I changed was Seattle, because we set it in Seattle instead of Verona. And I changed Mantua into Everett, because that's a city right outside of Seattle. So those were the only two words we changed.
Okay, so let's get into your vision for this. So you obviously had a very specific place that you wanted to set it. And it's a place that's quite, you know, it's quite far. It's got a different feeling and vibe from where you are in Louisiana. So why did you want this particular setting location? What was your vision for this show?
Well, I knew I wanted to set it in a different period, and I didn't want it to be, you know, the regular Shakespeare with the beautiful costumes, and I wanted to do something different and fun and funky, and I'm 37, and so when I grew up in high school, I was very much into the grunge music, the alternative music, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, things like that, and so the story between Romeo and Juliet is very fast paced. It's very angsty, and it happens over the course of 5 days. So I thought, what other perfect time period to place it in other than, you know, like teenager times? So I thought back to my teen times and what was inspiring to me, and of course it was that kind of music. And so I started listening to some of that music, and I was like, wow, we could really, you know, I'm feeling this. I'm thinking about the plot, and I'm getting inspired by the music. And so I'm thinking, okay, it's kind of like Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain almost. Their kind of love story was very fast and had a lot of angst in it, just like Romeo and Juliet. So that's kind of where I started thinking about setting it in Seattle.
You know what? And it's just a what a great sort of hint out to teachers who are listening, who are like, I'm never directing a Shakespeare play, is when you're doing something so far out of your comfort zone, find a little comfort, right? Like, find something that you connect to and that you relate to. It's just going to make your experience smoother.
Definitely. It's definitely made the experience much smoother. Much easier for me. I don't know. Well, I don't know if easier is the right word, but it's so much more fun. And I know when I'm having fun, the kids are having fun. And they're learning about this whole new era, which was my high school time. But I think it's also helping them to understand the story a lot better and to understand the language a lot better.
Any doorway you can give them, I think that's the way to do it. Shakespeare is such an interesting, it's so interesting because the stories are so universal. You really can put them in a different era and it doesn't affect the story all that much.
Exactly. I mean, our set is scaffolding. We're using scaffolding for our set. We have a balcony for the Capulets, a balcony for the Montagues, and then we have a neutral platform in the middle. And then I have some broken pieces of technology, computer screens, TV screens. My kids will have pagers because it's set in 1994. So it's the beginning of, you know, technology and the internet and things like that. So they'll be dressed in that style. So they're learning about that period, but also the set is kind of aesthetic, if you will, and also kind of grungy as well. So they're learning about that too. And I think it also kind of sets the mood for the feelings of Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you started down your rehearsal road, what about any changes that you had to make in your rehearsal process? If you've been directing or you've been teaching for 14 years, you have a lot of shows under your belt. So how does Shakespeare change your rehearsal process?
We definitely had to look at the language and analyze the script a lot more closely than any other script I've ever worked on. I actually have taught Romeo and Juliet 6 times to an English class. So I guess maybe that's why I picked it, because I felt more comfortable with it. But most of my students had never even read Romeo and Juliet. So we got some No Fear Shakespeare books and we went through them. They went through them individually. We went through them together, looking at the paraphrasing and what each line meant, so that they know exactly what they're saying, so that they're not just up there saying all these words. They know what's going on. They know the story. They know why they're saying these things and to whom they're saying them. And, you know, so looking at the words has been a much more intensive and intimate process for this play than any other show I've ever directed.
It's just amazing how you know, teaching it is one thing, but then bringing it to life.
Right.
Cool. So what was your collaboration like with your cast with this play?
Oh, it's just been wonderful. I get inspired by my students, especially my advanced class. I try to make, at my school, I try to make my advanced class kind of like the honors type theater class. So they have a lot of input into their show. They have a lot of, I want them to provide suggestions, and I want them to, especially with their characters, and if they feel with their blocking, they need to move somewhere. Of course, they have to tell me why they're moving, but, you know, they're providing me evidence from the script and from their character. And so I know that they're thinking about all these things. And to me, that just means that I've done my job as a teacher, and they're analyzing their script, they're analyzing their character, and I love to collaborate with them. That it's not just my show, it's their show. You know, it's them bringing these characters to life, and they are telling the story. So as we are working together to create this show, the more that they can and bring to the stage, and the more that they can bring to the show, I applaud them for that. I love when they bring ideas.
Was there ever a point as you're heading towards your opening night where they got frustrated and they weren't sure if they were going to be able to pull it off?
A couple of times they did. Memorizing has not been as easy as they thought, but actually they're surprising me. They're much further along at this point than I thought they would be. So I'm actually pretty proud of them. They've been studying a lot. But yes, they definitely have gotten frustrated time and time again.
You know what? It's that thing, though, where if you have a high expectation for your students, if you just go, I expect you and I know that you can learn these lines. They always do surprise you, don't they? Like
they do.
They always write. They always go to the bar that you set.
They do. They do. And I guess that's the reason I keep coming back every year.
That's awesome. What else would you know if it's not fulfilling for you?
Exactly.
Then why do it? So what do you think you've learned in this process? What has Shakespeare and tackling Shakespeare taught you?
I've definitely overcome my fear of Shakespeare. I will definitely be doing more Shakespearean shows, possibly even tackling maybe some Tennessee Williams on a small scale. I've definitely been nervous about tackling him. But I've always been kind of leery of playwrights that I hold in high esteem, because I wasn't sure if high school students could really comprehend the text. But I think that through this process and watching my students comprehend, analyze, understand, and bring these characters to life in Romeo and Juliet, I now know that my high school students really can do this, and they can fully bring these characters to life, and they understand and they know, and they can put on a phenomenal show.
I think that's a lovely place to end, in that if you can see them do the work and you can see them bring something difficult to light, then there's nothing they can't do.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think that's a good message for anyone out there, again, listening, who is a little Shakespeare weirds them out. It's like, well, you know, why not? Why not? Why not take on the challenge?
Let them try it. And most of the time, they will rise to your expectations.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Heidi.
Thank you so much.
All right. I am talking to Hillary Martin. Hello, Hillary.
Hi.
Now, we're talking about directing Shakespeare, working with Shakespeare for the first time. So this, you're in the middle of a production, right? You're in Much Ado About Nothing.
We are.
Awesome. And so before you took on this challenge, this journey, so what had been your relationship with Shakespeare?
I mean, I'm very familiar with Shakespeare, read a lot, studied it in school, written about it, acted in a couple of Shakespeare. I've actually been in Much Ado About Nothing, stage managed Shakespeare. That's my background, is stage management. So I'm very, very comfortable with Shakespeare, but had never had the opportunity to direct it or to do it with students.
Because that's a different thing, isn't it? That it's one thing to be on the side when you are reading it, studying it, doing it as part of classwork. When you have to kind of step over the other side of the table and not only create a world or a vision for the play, you also have to bring students along.
Yes. Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. And a big part of it was getting the kids to trust me. This is my fourth year at this school. So I have my core group of theater kids who have enough trust in me now that when I said, we're going to do Shakespeare, they were like, okay, instead of saying, you're crazy.
That was the most trepidatious, okay.
Yeah, they still probably do think I'm crazy, but they at least were willing to come along for the ride.
And what made you decide that now was the time to direct Shakespeare?
2 years ago, I'm at a K-12 school, so I see kids starting when they're in kindergarten, and then by middle school, high school, the theater kids have sort of decided who they are. And so I have a core group of really committed kids. And I have one girl who's a senior now, who in her sophomore year, we studied some scenes from Much Ado in the directing elective that I teach. And she loved it. And she's like, we have to do this play. And she's a very talented actress. And I felt like she deserves the chance to play Beatrice. So I was like, all right, it's her senior year. We're going to go for it.
That's kind of awesome. It's sort of like, yeah. Okay, you know, you've opened the door. Let's all go through together.
Yeah. And this was also sort of the year, you know, I have the right kids for the parts. I have the right numbers. And like I said, they finally trust me enough that they're willing to pretty much do whatever weird experiments I decide to put them through.
So when you, all right, you made the choice, you're like, okay, I've got my Beatrice, I've got my kids, I am going to now put on my director's hat and become and take this play on. What were your first steps when you were approaching Shakespeare for the first time as a director?
The first thing I did was think a lot about what can I do as sort of pre-rehearsal things to get these kids to understand the story. So we spent 2 weeks before they even picked up the script we watched one of the film versions. I found some great lesson plan resources online for introducing the characters and story. We sort of talked about Shakespeare in general. We looked at some little bits and pieces of language to say, okay, what's happening here? In terms of developing my vision for the show, my directing process with kids is very collaborative. So I usually have a few loose ideas, but a lot of it comes together as we're rehearsing. And for this particular show, I wasn't 100% sure where I wanted to go with it until we started rehearsing. And one day in rehearsal, as we were doing a scene, a couple of the seniors who could sort of understand the scenes better sat in the audience and were doing sort of a studio audience kind of a thing, you know, going ooh at the right moments and stuff like that. And I went, oh my gosh, this is a soap opera. So we're doing Much Ado as a soap opera.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting too, how, because it's really nice to hear that a different kind of process, because for a lot of, you know, directors, we talk about vision and this and that. Okay, I'm going into it and here's the vision, right? And I'm gonna explain the vision to you. And that sometimes, not all directors work that way. And that collaborative process is sometimes really necessary for students to feel at home in a piece.
Yeah. And I think especially with something like this, where it's hard for them to own the characters, it's hard for them to own the language because it's so difficult. So, but they really, once I came up with this soap opera idea, they've really latched on and it's helped them grip onto, oh, okay, so my acting should be kind of like this. And when I'm sad, it should be a little over the top. And when I'm angry, it needs to be big. So I think it was really important that they helped me find that.
They're such extremes. I mean, like, not Don Pedro, the villain, Don John. Don John. I mean, he is a soap opera villain.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He's a bad guy because he's a bad guy and he wants to ruin their lives.
Yeah. Like, and yeah. And we have like the typical heroine who is the heroine, you know, like that kind of thing. So once you established this, how did you develop it, you know, with costumes and with set and with characterization? You sort of, you know, talked a bit about how they're going to act in soap opera, but how did the whole piece come together on that theme?
Like I said, the acting's going to be kind of over the top, which I'm hoping will also help the audience along. Just like the kids don't have a lot of experience with Shakespeare, our audience won't have had a lot of exposure to Shakespeare. So anything we can do to help the audience come along with us, and even if they don't quite understand, oh, what does he think Hero did? They're going to get Claudio's mad at Hero and he's done this horrible thing, you know, casting her off at their wedding. So the acting will be very over the top. Our costumes, we've been delving into, my assistant director and I are delving into fashion color theory and sort of seasons. We've assigned each kind of grouping of characters a season, you know, who's a summer, who's a winter, who's an autumn. And our color palette will be all based around that.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, so I have a question that, because I love anytime we can talk about visuals. So will, before Beatrice and Benedict are together, are they in the same color, or is it something that changes?
That will change a little bit. They are both going to be, they're both autumns.
Okay.
So they'll both have kind of autumn colors, but different ones. And then as once they've fallen for each other, we're going to add something. I'm not sure what yet. For Benedict, it'll probably be a tie. And for Beatrice, I'm not sure. But something that's the exact same color.
Yes. I love it. Okay. And yeah, I really like, because it's like, it's something, anything that we, you make a good point. You know, if your students aren't that, have that much exposure to Shakespeare, which we'll talk about in a second, your audience probably doesn't. And anything you can do to visually tell your story,
right,
is going to be helpful.
Right.
So let's talk about this. So not only is this your first time directing Shakespeare with students, but you have a fair number of students who have had no previous experience with Shakespeare.
Yes.
So talk about that. Talk about what it was like to sort of bring them into this world, and what was their resistance? And
yeah. I've been amazed at how little resistance they've had. They really are. They're like, all right, we're going to go for it and do the best we can. I've also been amazed at how well-developed, I guess, their acting instincts are. Even, you know, I kind of talked about, we did a lot of pre-rehearsal stuff and sort of got to know the stories and characters. But even from the first time they picked up scripts and we started reading through scenes, a lot of their delivery was, it wasn't perfect, but it was on the right track. You know, they could tell, oh, okay, this is supposed to be a little sarcastic, or this is supposed to be a little angry, which I thought was really impressive. You know, they were able to use what language they could understand and use punctuation and what they knew of the story to figure that out. They've really enjoyed watching me try to explain the double entendres and dirty jokes without coming right out and, you know, being really inappropriate. I think they're enjoying those verbal gymnastics. And there have been a few times where I've just looked at one of the seniors and been like, can you just whisper in his ear what he's saying so I don't have to say it? I've used a lot of resources. I have a great book that's basically a Shakespeare dictionary that has a lot of specific words and phrases that's been really handy. And we've sort of, I think the key has been going really slow. We've spent a lot of time, you know, just reading through, we're going to read through the scene and stop me every time you're confused. And the first time through, we're stopping every line or two. What am I saying here? What's this? What would be the reaction to that? But now they're really starting to get it and sort of piece it together.
Well, I think just the fact of when you started rehearsals, it was 2 whole weeks without even looking at a script.
Yeah.
You know, like, can you imagine if you had like just delved in and went, all right, guys, sink or swim, here you go.
Right. It would have been a mess.
How are you? Is it a lot of, because you're working with a large age range too.
Yes. I have 7th graders up through seniors.
And how is that? Is there some sort of camaraderie because they're kind of all in the same boat? Is there some mentoring? Like, how is the age range working for or against you?
I think it really works for us. Because we're a K-12 school and we're very small, our high school has about 60 students. Our middle school has about 30, 35. So our shows traditionally, other than our one-act competition show, our fall and spring shows are mixed middle and high school. So this group of kids works together a lot. And they're very tight-knit group. You know, you see during lunch, the high school kids go and sit for a few minutes with the middle school theater kids and chat in a way that you don't see as much across the age range with the other kids in the school. And there's a lot of cast leadership amongst particularly the seniors. You know, the seniors are the ones kind of, when they're off stage sitting with one of the 7th or 8th graders and running lines, or when we're doing a character building journal entry or a character building improv, sitting with the younger kids and figuring it out. And my 9th graders, who I've been working with since they were in 6th grade, are now starting to come into more of that leadership role as well, which is really fun to see.
Absolutely. Because then it's more than Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So what's been the thing that you've learned the most in this process?
The thing that I've learned the most, that's an excellent question. Your English teacher is your friend. Definitely don't be afraid to collaborate with the English teacher. There have been a few times I've gone upstairs and been like, can you help me work through the scene? Because I get it, but I don't know if I get it well enough to explain it. and that kind of thing. And, you know, work with, because she's taught Shakespeare. So I've worked a lot with her to figure out how do I teach them this? So I'm not just explaining, oh, you know, this is what you're saying here. I want them to be able to do that kind of decoding on their own. I don't want to just be saying, say it like this.
Right. So you want to know it so that you can guide them if they start to go astray, but you don't want to do it for, you don't want to do the work for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and so where's your fear of, or trepidation of directing Shakespeare? It sounds pretty good, actually. It sounds like it's been pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I was definitely nervous to start out with. I was definitely nervous to start out with, but sort of fake it till you make it, I guess. I was like, I can't show fear to the kids. Because if I'm scared of Shakespeare, they will be.
That's exactly it, isn't it? You know, like, it's the only way to show them that it's okay is to show them that you're okay with it.
Exactly.
That's all your acting skills are coming yeah. home to roost, you know? when do you open?
It's Memorial Day weekend, so May 27th, I think.
You have so much time. You guys are going to rock it. You're going to rock it. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you, Heidi and Hillary. Okay, before we go, let's do some theater folk news. Let's talk Shakespeare adaptations. I have my hands like in the air, like this is like, yay, I won the lottery, Shakespeare adaptation. Okay. You do not have to take Hamlet in its 4-hour glory, plunk it down in front of your students and say, okay, make it happen, kiddos. Make it happen. That will not only turn off your students, it may give you the stomach ache to end all stomach aches. So how do you gateway into Shakespeare? So let your friends here at Theater Folk, let us help you. So first of all, we have a Shakespeare monologue book and a Shakespeare scene book, Solo Spear and Scene Spear respectively. Right? Yes. I'm reflecting on that it is respectively. Okay. Start slow with monologues and scenes. And both these books, they have summaries of the moment, what's happening, and vocabulary help too. What your students will need to give their best in that moment. We also have two Shakespeare categories, adaptations and parodies, and then Shakespeare in an Hour. So let's start with that one. Our Shakespeare in an Hour series takes a variety of Shakespeare's plays in the original language. So it's all out Shakespeare, but we have cut them down to about an hour, which I think in high school is a manageable amount. And we've also included annotated notes, vocabulary help, character questions, action suggestions, story details. It's all there for you to have an experience with the original language of Shakespeare, but with a little bit of help. And then with our adaptations and parodies, we're taking the original stories and giving it a twist, whether it's making it modern or whether it's taking the story and turning it upside down. Like, so for example, in Drop Dead Juliet, we have the story of Romeo and Juliet, where Juliet is sick of the dying. She wants more love and less death. So how does she retell the original story? Is she able to retell the original story? And then in another one, Much Ado High School, we have the plot points of the original play, but the whole thing is set at a high school dance. I think these plays are a great introduction to Shakespeare in a context that's a little more welcoming, a little more of an open door. So you can introduce your students to Shakespeare. You can interest your students in Shakespeare. Who knows? Maybe even some of them will love it. We can be optimistic, right? Yes, you and me, we can be optimistic. Of course we can. So I put the links in the show notes for all of these goodies, which you can find at theaterfolk.com/episode169. Finally, where oh where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.